Gangbusters! The Military Police Corps of the United States Army is celebrating its 12th anniversary. To tell us about tonight's Gangbusters case is the Chief of Operations, Operations and Enforcement Branch of the Office of the Provost Marshal General, Lieutenant Colonel Holly Moore, who supervises military police operations all over the world. And here, especially transcribed for Gangbusters, is Colonel Moore.
Thank you, and good evening, Gangbusters listeners. Throughout the world, the uniformed military policeman of the American Army has become a familiar sight. His trim uniform, bearing, and conduct are models for soldiers everywhere. His job in the Army compares to that of the uniformed civilian policeman: to maintain order, direct military traffic, guard important installations, prevent crime, and give assistance and service wherever he can. Within the Army's Military Police Corps, there are also specialists who perform functions similar to those of detectives of a city police force. These are called criminal investigators. It is their duty, under the supervision of their local provost marshal, to investigate crimes against Army personnel and property, and to apprehend fugitives in this connection. This case tonight shows, in part, the work of these important specialists, and it began one summer night, a year or so ago, on the outskirts of a small town in Iowa. A very low-grade carnival was playing a one-night stand to so-so business, and the talkers at the various attractions were straining their lungs, drumming up trade. The only fair-sized crowd was gathered in front of Gay Paree, the carnival's girly show, where the outside talker was making his pitch to the crowd.
On the inside of Gay Paree in a very few minutes. Yes, sir, the spectacle you've been witnessing outside here is only a sample, a very small sample of what's going to start on the inside of Gay Paree in just a few minutes. You're going to see the five most gorgeous, lovely girls west of Broadway and east of Hollywood. And there's still a few seats left inside the tent. You've been watching our little Josette give you that sample, our sweet little Josette. Take a bow, Josette.
Thank you.
Hey, you.
Stay off the ballast stand, pal. This is for employees only. Right over here, the best quarter you ever spent.
Mister, I said stay off the ballast stand.
I'm the sheriff of the county.
Oh, well, we run a clean extravaganza here, Sheriff. Pure and simple. Witness the show with my compliments.
I'm not here for that. I want to talk to you.
Well, I've given my pitch, Sheriff.
I want to talk to you anyway.
If you want to talk, Sheriff, you'll talk, but just a second.
All right, man. Josette will give you one more little segment of what you'll see inside the Gay Paree. Give him that segment, Josette, but not too much now. Hit it, Professor!
Now, what can I do for you, Sheriff?
You got a fellow named Hale working around here?
Hale? Not that I know of.
The big boss said you had a Ralph Hale over
there.
Oh,
Ralph! I never knew Hale was his other name. Yes, he's our electrician, handyman, stagehand, and general factotum around here.
Where is he now?
Well, I'll take you to him. Give me a minute to get this crowd inside, will you?
Okay, take your minute.
Well, I'll be right with you.
Well, that's enough of the segment, Josette. That's enough now. Now, just take it easy, boys. You ain't seen nothing yet. Now, little Josette is going to go back inside the tent with the other girls, and she's going to get ready for the big performance of the Gay Paree show that starts in just another moment. Now, go on, Josette.
The inside, everybody. Come on. I'm on in 2 minutes. Ralph?
What?
Ralph, you better go.
I better go where? Will you get ready for the show,
Josie? Ralph, the sheriff is outside looking for you.
The sheriff? Well, thanks, babe.
No, not that way. He's coming in that way.
Well, how?
Through the girls' dressing tent this way.
Listen, help me, Josie. Help me get away from you.
I will. Everything will be all right. Now, wait. Okay, it's all right. The girls are out waiting to go on.
Okay. All right, close it. Close the flash.
Sure. Now, go on, Ralph. You can sneak out that way and write to me, will you? Please write to me.
Yeah,
huh?
Sure. Hey, wait a minute, Josie.
You better hurry.
Now, listen, Josie, have you got any money?
Well, I haven't got very much. I got only about $250.
Oh, well, look, baby, can I borrow $200? You'll get it back, every cent back.
But it's in a savings bank in Chicago.
Oh.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry, Ralph. You know I'd let you have it. But you'll be all right. Everything will be fine.
Listen, Josie, leave the show and come to Chicago with me, will you?
Ralph, I can't do that. They need me.
Oh,
here.
What do you want to stay with a lousy, run-down outfit like this for? Come on to Chicago. We'll have a real time, you and me.
But, gee, Ralph, I don't know. It's not right to leave like that without notice.
What do you think they'd give you notice? Look, I'm going to Alex's trail. I'm going to get my stuff. And then I'm going to hitchhike over to Sioux City. There's 3 or 4 buses out of there for Chicago a night. I'll wait in the bus station for you. The bus station in Sioux City.
Ralph, I can't. You know how I feel about you, but I can't.
I'll be waiting for you in the bus station.
Ralph.
I need you there, Josie. I need you. Now, you pull out of here as soon as they tear down the show tonight. All right?
All right. I'll meet you in the bus station.
Well, that was how this fugitive made his escape. He was, as we shall see, an army deserter. In addition to that violation of the Uniform Code of Military Justice, he was also sought for the burglary of the residences of 2 non-commissioned officers on the military reservation at Fort Meade, Maryland, when he was stationed there. At midnight that night, in the headquarters of the 5th Army Military Police Criminal Investigation Detachment in Chicago, 1st Sergeant Edward P. Ellis, on duty in that office, had just dialed the telephone number.
Major Landry, please.
Speaking.
Oh, this is Sergeant Ellis, sir. Sorry to disturb you at home.
Now, that's all right. What is it, Sergeant?
We just got a wire, sir. A reply from that sheriff in Iowa.
Did he get him?
No, sir.
Oh. Well, what'd the wire say?
It says, Major Robert L. Landry, 5th Army Military Police Criminal Investigation Detachment, Chicago. Information good, but missed Ralph Hale, wanted by your office. Hale fled while I was on carnival out to make arrest.
Well, that's that, I guess.
Yes, sir. No information regarding present whereabouts.
All right, Sergeant. Send a wire back to the sheriff over my name and thank him.
Yes, sir.
We'll get him, Sergeant. I want you to catch up with that carnival and see what kind of information you can turn up. Somebody around there ought to know where he was heading.
When shall I leave, sir?
I'll come into the office and we can talk it over. You can leave tonight.
Cheer up, will you, Josie? Plenty for you to do in Chicago. You can get a job 10 minutes after the bus pulls.
I'm not worried about that, Ralph. I shouldn't have left the show like that without notice. Where are they going to find another girl in the middle of Iowa like
Look,
that?
Worry about yourself a little bit instead of other people, will you?
I'm just that way, that's all.
Well, if you got to worry about somebody else, you worry about me.
Look, I am worried about you. You don't have to tell me to worry about you.
I'll be all right. As long as I have a little bit of dough to get settled on and look around. Now, you sure you got that money in the bank in Chicago, huh?
Yeah, I got it.
You got your bank book with you?
I got that, too.
Okay.
Ralph.
Hmm?
What did that sheriff want to talk to you for? Exactly, I mean.
Oh, I've been a little troubled.
Yeah, I know that. I mean, exactly. After all, I left the show. I'm going to Chicago with you, giving you that money. I'm entitled to know.
Well, how much do you think a guy can make roughnecking around a small-time show like that? I've been working the short con. I guess one of the marks put in a beef. I took some small-town suckers for a couple of touches. Everybody does it. It's practically legit.
Well, the bus is going to get in awful early in the morning. We got to find rooms and everything.
Listen, don't bother about that, kid. I think we'll be set all right.
Where?
I got a friend in Chicago. We used to work together a lot. He'll find a spot for us.
Oh, all right.
His name is Fatso.
That's a funny name.
Yeah, well, it fits. He's not what you'd call good-looking.
Gee, I don't think I can hold my head up anymore, Ralph.
Yeah, we'll go to sleep.
Can I lean on your shoulder?
Lean on the pillow they give you. My shoulder's not a pillow.
All right. Night. Wake me up when we get to Chicago.
Yeah, I will. You can count on it.
Do, Ralph, except get a job.
Look, Josie, don't bother me with your problems, will you? Fatso invited us here to have a drink, not to listen to your troubles. Isn't that right, Fatso?
She's got a point, Ralph. If she don't work, how are we going to pay the rent? And look, there ain't even much left in the bottle. That's as important as rent.
We'll manage. Don't worry about that. We'll manage.
We sure managed fine so far, didn't we? Took all my money out of the bank. It's not even a week yet, and tomorrow there won't be a cent left.
What are you complaining? Listen, if you're complaining, you can get on the bus and go back to the show.
I'm not complaining, Ralph. You know I'm not. I'm just worried, that's all.
You and me both.
Well, who'd figure that Fatso was in such a spot and strapped for dough like me? I thought he'd be in good shape.
I've been having a rough year, Ralph. I've been sick.
Well, if I want that dice job, I better call him then.
Well, go on, call him then.
There's a phone under the stairs.
All right.
I'll pour you another drink in the meanwhile.
No, don't do that. I don't want any.
I'll pour one for myself. She's an awful pretty girl, Ralph.
She'll do.
You ought to be nice to her. It's good to have somebody that likes you. You treat them right, and they keep liking you.
What do you know about women?
I know if I had one like that, I'd treat her right. Giving her last money, too.
All right, it's a shame she's got no more. Now, listen, are you interested in this deal I was telling you about or not?
Where'd you hear about it anyway? In the Army?
No, since I left, since I went with the show.
Look, I don't mind traveling and all that. But you got to be sure the old man's got all that money in the house.
I can be sure of it. Some guy I drank beer with in town. He worked for him. Spent the whole night talking about him. He's got a safe in the wall of his living room.
Yeah, but has he got dough in it?
Yeah, he's got dough in it.
How old is he, anyway?
He's over 60. Way over 60.
I guess he won't be much trouble.
No trouble at all. We leave Chicago in the afternoon, just in time to get to the old man's house at midnight. We do our business, we turn right around, we come back. Nobody even knows about a Chicago.
Nobody but Josie.
Josie is coming with us.
On the job?
On the job.
You're not going to tell her what you got in mind. She wouldn't like it.
She wakes up and finds herself part of the deal. She'll have to like it.
Back to Gangbusters in a moment. Marcus Whitman, frontier doctor, will be the real-life hero of tomorrow night's Radio Hall of Fame. Lionel Barrymore, your host, tells the story of this pioneer Oregonian who risked his life to help America open the Pacific Northwest to settlement. Lionel Barrymore will have the aid of a top Hollywood cast in the Radio Hall of Fame's outstanding production, Marcus Whitman, Frontier Doctor, tomorrow evening on most of these same CBS radio stations. And now back to Gangbusters and Lieutenant Colonel Moore.
Well, as the 5th Army Criminal Investigation Detachment of the military police sought information leading to the whereabouts of an Army deserter who had also been accused of burglary on a military reservation, the fugitive, in company of his friend and the girl Josie, left Chicago for the small Nebraska city, intent upon robbing an elderly resident. Shortly after midnight, the stolen car in which they had driven from Chicago pulled up in front of the spacious Victorian residence where their intended victim lived all alone.
What a casa.
Ralph, I'm afraid. I don't want to do it.
What's there to be afraid of?
I never did anything like this before. I never stole a thing in my life.
Well, this is a good time as any to start. Go on, get out.
It seems so off.
That's an awful big house, Ralph. You don't think he's got boarders or anything?
He's got nothing except dough. Now, come on.
Dogs. You think he's got dogs? I'm scared to death of dogs.
He's got no dogs.
Only money.
Yeah, you said it, baby. Only money. And he won't have that long.
Maybe he's not home. There's not a light any place.
He never goes anywhere. He's asleep. All right, hold it here. Now, we'll stay out of sight here, Josie. Go to it.
Well, can't...
Go on, will you?
All right.
That's a good girl.
All right, get down.
I'm down.
Go on, push the bell.
There it is.
Again.
There. There goes the light in the bedroom.
All right, quiet.
I'm quiet.
Take him a couple of seconds to get downstairs.
Yes? What do you want?
Excuse me, I got a flat on my car. Could I use your phone?
Do you have to wake me up in the middle of the night?
Well, I couldn't help it if I had a flat. Please?
All right, just a second.
I'm awfully sorry, but I really didn't know what to do.
Well, as long as you woke me up, come on in.
All right, let's go. Out of the way, honey.
Hey, what's that?
Watch the door. Now, get away from there, Swanson.
No, no, let me go. Let me go.
Hold him.
Let me go.
I got him. All right, honey, shut the door.
Yeah.
Let me go, will you? Let me go.
Hold still, old timer.
All right, baby, turn on that light.
Please.
Turn on the light, will you?
All right.
Let me go, will you?
Come on, old timer, get in there. In the living room.
Go on, go on.
All right, that's far enough.
What do you want?
What are you asking foolish questions for, Mr. Swanson? You know what we want. Money. All of it. Now, sit down there.
I got no money here.
Didn't you hear him? He said, sit down.
Baby?
Yes?
Turn on some lamps in here, will you? It should be a little more cheerful in here.
Yeah, to say the least.
All right.
Yeah, Mr. Swanson, money. All the money you got.
I've got none here.
How's that? You want some more lunch?
No, that's enough. Find a seat someplace and stay out of the way. That's so?
Yeah.
See that picture of the ocean breezes on the wall there?
Yeah.
We'll take it down.
This picture here?
Yeah, that's the picture. Take it down.
Oh, now, wait for a
minute. Shut up, Mr. Swanson.
Look at this, a safe. A safe right in the wall.
Come here, Fatso.
Huh? That thing shouldn't be too much trouble.
No, it won't give us much trouble if Mr. Swanson don't give us much trouble. What's the combination, Mr. Swanson? What's the matter? Can't you hear me when I talk to you? Now, what's the combination? What is the combination?
Ralph, wait a minute.
Come on, back there and sit.
No, please, Ralph, don't do that anymore.
How are we going to get him to open the safe if we don't?
Let me try.
Go ahead. It'll be such a wonder.
Look, Mr. Swanson, what's the use of getting yourself hurt, huh? I didn't know it was going to be anything like this or I wouldn't have come along. Now tell him what the combination is. I don't want to see you get hurt.
What are you doing here? You're just as bad as them.
Don't talk like that to the lady.
Oh, don't.
Hey, go off me, will you?
All right, let him go.
Please don't hurt him.
Honest, how can a guy work with all this interference?
Honey, go over in the other room. Keep a sharp look out of the window. Watch for any cars stopping in front.
Yeah, but
go on, will you?
All right. But don't hurt him.
That's right, through there.
Please don't hurt him.
All right, now, Mr. Swanson. No.
That's it. Let him go.
You want the combination, don't you?
You let him go. All right, now, Mr. Swanson, how about it?
I won't tell you.
You see, Ralph?
I'm going to show you something, Mr. Swanson. I'm going to show you this.
What'd you need a gun for?
Just get your hands away.
Sit down there. And stay there.
What are you going to do?
What's the combination?
No. If you wouldn't kill me.
Well, let's see how close I can come.
No. No.
Feel that whiz by your ear, Mr. Swanson? Now, what's the combination?
Well, what is it?
Well, let's whiz one by the other ear. Now, what's the combination,
no.
Mr.
Swanson? No.
He didn't shoot.
No, we didn't shoot him. Get back in there. Will you go back in there?
What's the matter with her, anyway?
Now listen to me, Mrs. Swanson. I'm tired of messing around. What is the combination? What is it?
Go on,
come on, come on. What is it? Come on, what is it? What is it?
Hey, take it easy. You'll kill him.
It's your life. I'll kill him. Can't toy with me.
Watch it. Watch it. Uh-oh. I think that done it.
Mrs. Swanson. Come on, Mr. Swanson. Quit stalling.
You ask me, Ralph. I think they'd really done it.
Well, who's asking you?
After all, he ain't no youngster.
All right, what are you worried about?
If you were going to kill him, you should have waited until we got the combination.
We'll open the safe without the combination.
How? Tell me how.
You look for some tools and go to work on the safe while Josie and I see what else is around this house.
Hey, Joe Landry.
This is Corporal Lochner, sir. Sergeant Ellis is calling in from Ames, Iowa.
Oh, good. Put him on.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, sir. Hello, sir.
Yes, Sergeant?
I caught up at the carnival in Keokuk, and I've been following them around for a couple of days.
Good. What'd you find out?
Well, nobody's heard from Ralph Hale, but it was a girl with the show. Josie McAllister is the name she was working under.
Yeah?
She left without notice the night Hale ran out.
They think she might be with Hale?
Well, I'd say she could be, sir. One of her friends here had a postcard from this Josie. She's working as a dice girl in some tavern there in Chicago.
Where in Chicago?
I got the postcard, Major. It doesn't say what tavern, just Chicago.
All right, that's better than nothing. We'll see what we can do with it.
Hey, Ralph.
What?
How about it? Can we stop at the next joint for a sandwich or something?
The idea is not to stop for a sandwich. The idea is just to get back to Chicago as fast as we can. Let's get some speed out of this thing and put in some miles before it gets daylight.
Ralph, how could you kill him? How could you do such a thing?
Look, Josie, let's not go over that again. It was an accident. He fell.
That poor old guy.
What did she say?
You just take care of the driving up there, Fatso. I'll take care of the conversation back here. Now, listen, you get one thing through your head, Josie. You're in this just as much as we are.
I didn't want to come along.
No, but you did. You helped. The best thing for you to do is to forget it, go about your business, keep your mouth shut.
Just to kill a guy like that and for nothing, Gretchen.
All right, so we couldn't get the safe open. Had $100 in cash in his pocket. It's better than nothing.
Kill a man for $100.
That's what you think. But Josie, look.
What's that? Oh, my.
Shut up. That's what I don't know about it. I found it upstairs. 2 carats at least.
Hey, what's all the whispering?
Oh, when you sweet talk nothings to your girlfriend, you don't shout, do you?
Oh.
When we get to Chicago, you go back to your job, Josie. And you wait and see. Things are going to be just ducky.
Thus, the search was concentrated in Chicago. Every available military police investigator was used in the attempt to track down the girl Josie, who was known to be working as a dice girl in a Chicago tavern. Meanwhile, the robbery and homicide had not been tied to the former carnival worker and army deserter. The aid of Chicago detectives was requested in the hunt for the dice girl. But a week passed, and the investigators still were not able to locate her.
Come on, 80 cases.
And 3 is 22. You want to try again?
Yeah, sure, why not? Gotta win sometime, don't I? Josie?
If you keep trying long enough.
That's your name, Josie, isn't it?
Yeah, that's my name.
Nice name.
Roll the dice, mister. I'm not here to carry on conversations.
Neither am I.
Hey, Josie, I got to talk to you.
I'm busy now, Fred.
I don't care how busy you are. I got to talk to you.
Later.
Where's Ralph? Is he coming here?
I don't know where Ralph is. Go on, roll, mister.
Yeah.
Did Ralph bring a ring from Nebraska?
A ring? I don't know.
He did, didn't he? And you two didn't say nothing.
I don't know, Fatso. Now, please, I'm busy.
Okay, you're busy. I'm busy, too. I'm telling you something. You two better show up at my place after you get finished tonight. I want to get this settled, and I want to get it settled
Fatso,
good.
Fatso, I got a customer. Excuse it, mister.
Oh, I love fights.
I heard from sources that Ralph got a ring. I want my part of that. If I don't get it, there'll be trouble, real trouble. Now, both of you, show up tonight. I'll see you later.
He's mad.
Yeah, I guess he has a right to be. Well, go on, roll, mister.
No, I think I've had enough. Here, this squares us, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, so long, Josie.
Call again, mister.
That's a girl, all right, Major.
Good.
They're going to meet Ralph later. She and a guy, Fatso his name is. They were arguing about a ring.
Were they?
Yes, sir. And that part didn't make sense to me.
We'll try to make sense out of it. Now, let's see where that fellow Fatso goes. And see if the girl and Ralph keep that date.
You don't intend to give him his share, Ralph. Why are you coming to see him? That's what I don't understand.
You don't understand a lot of things, Josie. All right, go on in.
He's entitled to it, you know.
He's entitled to what I want to give him.
Ralph, listen to me. Why make trouble for yourself? Aren't you involved enough now? Give him what he's got coming to him.
Go on, get upstairs.
All right.
And I don't want to hear any more out of you either. Ship you back to that carnival so fast your head'll spin.
Oh, no, you won't.
Now, you listen to me, baby. Don't you backtalk me. You're in this thing just as much as anybody. You can get just as much as me, so remember that. If I say back to the show, you go and no arguments. Now, get upstairs.
All right. You're going to have to shove me.
You and Fatso have got to learn to take what you get and be happy with it.
What about my $250?
You'll get it when I feel like giving it to you. And I don't feel like it yet. Come on, Fatso, open up. You know who it is.
Yeah. Okay, Ralph.
All right, come on. Now, listen, Fatso.
All right, Ralph, stand still.
Oh, military police. Hold it.
Not me. Watch him. There he goes.
I got him in his head.
You just think you have him there.
Let me go.
Still. I'm upstairs.
Gotta let me go.
Sir, you run.
You're in. Go in. Any place else?
No.
No. No place at all.
Everything okay, sir?
I got no complaints, Sergeant. No complaints at all.
And that was how this Army fugitive was taken by criminal investigators of the Military Police Corps. Subsequently, his connection with the Nebraska homicide came to light. Following a court-martial and a dishonorable discharge from the Army, he was turned over to the Nebraska authorities to be tried with his Confederates on a charge of murder. They were found guilty and received appropriate sentences under the law. This incident shows that any crime is of concern to all enforcement officials and to all citizens. Neither the military police nor the civilian law enforcement officials can prevent or solve all crimes without the assistance of the other. Tonight we are observing the 12th anniversary of the Military Police Corps. The attainment of this milestone has been greatly enhanced by the aid of your local police. This sentiment is extended to the police of most foreign countries who in these days of uneasy peace work hand in glove with us. On behalf of the Provost Marshal General and every military policeman throughout the world, I want to thank Gangbusters for this opportunity to show you how your army works for you in peace as they do in war.
Thank you, Lieutenant Colonel Harley Moore, Chief of Operations from the Office of the Provost Marshal General, United States Army. Now, Gangbusters Nationwide Clues, broadcast every week as a public service to assist American police in their war against the underworld. Attention, all citizens. Watch for this man, Herbert Paul Jenkins, wanted by the FBI for unlawful flight to avoid prosecution for murder. His official description:
Herbert Paul Jenkins, age 51, height 5 feet 9 inches, 170 to 190 pounds, medium build, brown hair, blue eyes, fair complexion, may seek work as farmer, mechanic, steel, or shipyard worker. He has the tattoo Inez below left elbow, has oblique scar above inner corner of right eyebrow, a small oblique scar below nose, an irregular scar below left side of jaw, and a 1 1/2 inch scar on inner right forearm. He has a furrow between his eyes.
Caution, Jenkins may be armed and should be considered extremely dangerous. Watch for him. Attention, all citizens. Watch for George Lester Bellew, wanted by the FBI for interstate transportation of stolen property. His official description:
George Lester Bellew, age 39, 5 feet 9 inches, 160 to 70 pounds, medium build, dark brown hair, brown eyes, medium complexion. May seek work as a nurse, clerk, or artist.
This man has a scar on bridge of his nose, on his lower right arm, a tattoo of a heart pierced with a dagger, and the words, death before dishonor.
Caution, Bellew may be armed and should be considered dangerous. If you have any information concerning these fugitives, notify your local police, the nearest office of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, or Gangbusters at once. Tonight's Gangbusters case was dramatized by Stanley Niss and directed by Leonard L. Bass, with Bob Reddick, Juan O. Hernandez, and Terry Keane in leading roles. The entire production was supervised for CBS Radio by John Ives. Gaylord Avery speaking. Next week, same time, same CBS station, to amazing facts in The Case of the Soda Fountain Pigeon on Gangbusters, a production of CBS Radio in cooperation with Phillips H. Lord. With Harry Lillis Crosby, Freeman Gosden, and Charles Correll checking in on CBS Radio tomorrow night, we're happy to remind you that from now on, they'll be keeping company Sunday nights with our man, Benny Kubelski. Or, looking at it another way, with the Bing Crosby Show and Amos and Andy returning to most of these stations tomorrow night, they'll be heard the same evening as Jack Benny. It's all yours tomorrow evening with the rest of our Sunday Fun Day lineup presented by CBS Radio. And remember, America's 45 million radio families listen most to the CBS Radio Network.